Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning into UBS Global Research Pod Hub, a channel that shares insights from economists, strategists, and equity analysts on the pivotal questions and events shaping today's market. My name is Caroline Lee, APAC Product Manager, China Deputy Head. I'm here today with Chen Chen, Head of China Healthcare. In this episode, we are going to be taking a high-level look at our Q-series on aging China. Welcome, Chen Chen.
Thank you, Caroline.
Now, we note that aging trend in China is not really new, but it does bring encouraging investment opportunities that you unpack in this report. How big do you see the potential market size? And can you walk us through your calculation if there's any specific subsectors that you would like to highlight?
Sure. Thanks, Caroline, for your questions. We expect a $700 billion incremental revenue pool in China healthcare market over the next 5 years, with another $1.1 trillion in upside potential by 2040. This expansion is mainly driven by a rapidly aging population. According to the United Nations, adults 65 years and older in China may account for 27% of the Chinese population by 2040. And in 2024, this number was only 15%. We found older people spend much more on healthcare than young people. For example, healthcare expenditure for people aged 75 years and older nearly double that of people aged below 40. China's per capita healthcare expenditure as percentage of average personal annual consumption has grew from 6.7% to over 9.0% in the past 15 years. However, comparing with developed countries, the current healthcare expenditure as percentage of GDP is still lower and has the potential to catch up. Our estimation suggests a $700 billion incremental market opportunity over the next 5 years, with base case assuming a 5.5 nominal GDP growth. This is suggested by IMF in the next 5 years, and also a 10% like healthcare expenditure of GDP by 2030. We expect the majority of the incremental dollars to flow into innovative drugs, advanced medical and high-value healthcare services. Despite headwinds including regulatory uncertainty, intensifying competition, and geopolitical risks, we think the structural opportunity is compelling and should not be overlooked. Back to you, Caroline.
Thank you. A lot of big numbers that you highlight, which is probably more encouraging than the market gave credit for. There is a concern that China is growing older before it get richer. So a lot of concern is on the funding side, on who pays for the medical care. We understand China's basic medical care insurance has wide coverage, but also a reputation for focusing on cost control. Do you think China will have enough funding to meet this age and population's healthcare needs?
Well, that's a very good question. And this is a very hot topic discussed while we are having marketing with investors. So China's healthcare expenditure is mainly supported by basic medical insurance, or we call it BMI, and also another funding is out-of-pocket. We think China is running a very highly efficient BMI system, with its expenditure covering over 95% of the population and representing only 2.2% of GDP. We expect the BMI to continue to be a major source of support, and this could also maintain a healthy balance in the longer term, like to ensure the basic medical demand in China as well as to support innovative drugs and medical devices. We think BMI income will be supported by several factors such as delayed retirement, rising incomes, and also growing contribution rates. We project the basic medical insurance expenditure to have a 5.5% CAGR, reaching nearly $1 trillion by 2040. On the other hand, the BMI reform is also ongoing. We see this such as volume-based procurement, or VBP, as well as DRG and DIP. These measures have led to significant price reductions, like in generics, but free up funds for innovative treatment. We expect innovative drugs to account for nearly 60% of BMI drug expenditure by 2030. So this number in 2024 was only 34%. Well, in addition, commercial medical insurance is still underpenetrated and represents a key long-term supplement to public coverage. It can also offer a growth opportunity like beyond the core BMI system. Thanks.
Thank you. This is interesting because when we talk about China's pension or retirement funding, there's talking about a three pillar. One is government, the other is enterprise, and then the third is personal. Sounds like somewhat similar in the healthcare funding story as well. You have basic, which is government run, commercial insurance, which are you also talked about. I want to talk a bit more on the personal contribution, or you mentioned out of pocket. Overall, China's consumption has been somewhat subdued. There is a lack of strong growth in domestic consumption, willingness or spend. But healthcare is apparently an increasing mix in the overall wallet share. Can you tell us more just on the out of pocket money from Chinese consumers as they age? How should we think about this, and how does that compare in the global context?
Okay, sure. So we think out-of-pocket has been a major contributor to the healthcare expenditure in China, accounting for about 34% of current healthcare expenditure. While, as we mentioned just now, the basic medical demand is highly efficiently covered by BMI, we believe out-of-pocket healthcare expenditure are set to grow, as the absolute number is still very low. We found out-of-pocket healthcare expenditure per capita in China currently is only about $260. So this is significantly lower than many other aging countries in the Europe and in Japan. So these countries, they usually have a range of $400 to $800. So we expect it to grow as China's population gets older. We expect the out-of-pocket, per capita, to reach $400 level by 2030. It implies a 7% CAGR for out-of-pocket expenditure between 2024 to 2030, implying a market of $568 billion in 2030. We think since Chinese people's basic medical insurance is well covered by BMI, this could help out-of-pocket money to meet more discretionary demand. We think the aging trend could benefit the out-of-hospital market, especially the consumer healthcare, including tonic products such as traditional Chinese medicines, as well as, for example, medical devices and also some home use, medical devices.
Great, thank you. And then just before we go, maybe you can summarize for us what's the investment implication. We are not talking about single stocks, but maybe broad stroke, what sectors, what segment? I wouldn't imagine every segment in healthcare benefit. So who will be relatively more exposed to this theme, just from a sector perspective?
Oh, sure. We believe a number of sectors are potentially to benefit. First of all, we are quite positive on China innovative biopharma companies. Some leading China biopharma companies, they have commercialized their products in in fields such as oncology and autoimmune disease. Well, they have already have meaningful sales in China, and also they are set to expand their global footprint. Well, we also like some global innovative biopharma companies with meaningful China exposure. Well, we also like some, medtech potential beneficiaries because they also have meaningful like revenue exposure in China. In addition, like to these biopharma and medtech companies, we also like CRO companies. For the out-of-pocket part, we like some like traditional Chinese medicine names, some like service leaders, and also commerce leaders. We are also in favor of some like home use, like device leaders. Along with China, we think regions such as Latin America and ASEAN also have fastly aging trend and may also feature similar investment opportunities.
Yeah, thanks. Great opportunity for future reports. Thank you, Chen Chen. This has been great. Thank you all for visiting the UBS Research Pod Hub. That was an overview of China healthcare and aging with me, Caroline Lee, and Chen Chen at UBS. If you've enjoyed this episode, please tune in again. Thank you.
This content has been prepared by UBS AG, its subsidiaries and or affiliates, and is purely informational in nature. It is not investment research and does not contain an investment recommendation, nor investment or professional advice. It is not an offer or solicitation to engage in any investment activity, and you should seek your own financial, tax and legal advice before engaging in any such activity. UBS has no responsibility to you in relation to this content, and has no regard to your personal circumstances or investment objectives, and receiving it does not imply any form of client relationship with UBS for any legal, regulatory, or tax purpose. This content is not intended for distribution into any jurisdiction, where to do so would be contrary to law or regulation. UBS does not accept any liability over the content of such material or reliance upon any information contained herein. The views and opinions expressed by any guest speaker or third party are not those of UBS. Accordingly, UBS does not accept liability over any such views and opinions expressed by such persons. This content is the valuable intellectual property of UBS, and UBS specifically prohibits the redistribution of it in whole or in part without its prior written permission. Copyright 2025. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. All rights reserved.